You've entitled this part, so how do we get it all done? There's a whole lot of ways that we talked about and a whole lot of things that need to get done. And we developed a good partnership with an agency that can help us. We developed a partnership with an agency that has helped us and continues to help us with Newsline. We developed an agency that has said that they are considering helping us with the Bell program. We'll ask about that in a few minutes. We've developed a partnership with an agency that is flat out opposed to paying sub-minimum wage. And they are going to see that that doesn't happen any more place in New York that they have any jurisdiction over. But let me give you to say it in his own words. And when we have some dialogue later, it will be polite dialogue. It will be polite. We only have until 5 o'clock, folks, so let's use it wisely. I give you, for whatever he cares to say and for whatever we care to share with each other, Associate Commissioner Brian Daniels from the Commission for the Blind.
Thank you so much.
There's no stopping what a fighting team can start for all together. A team can weather any storm they may go through. 'Cause teamwork can make a dream work, can make the greatest dream come true.
I heard something about dreams coming true. I love it. Absolutely. Good afternoon, NFB. Thank you so much for welcoming me here today, and you know, for your warm invitation. Year after year, you should know, on behalf of the NFB, the New York State affiliate, your president, Carl Jacobson, his invitations are warm, they're sincere. He says, come. He says, come and stay the whole weekend. Please come to banquet. And it's really, really hard to say no, not just to Carl, but to everybody, because this is by far among the richest experiences that I have every year as Associate Commissioner of NYSCB, to be here with all of you. And I thank you for inviting me. I also, you thanked me before, which I appreciated, and our commission before for the sponsorship, but you should thank yourselves as well. You were the ones who approached us, and you asked, and we certainly gave with a willing heart. But you know what? Whenever we're asked to sponsor an event like this, we're more than happy to do it. So thank you, too, for asking us. We appreciate that. And you know, the title of this is, how are we going to get all of this done, or something to that close effect? And, you know, before I even saw that, I actually had an answer to that. And it's about a 5-minute answer, but that's a long answer if you consider what it's based on. And that is, and I'm not sure it's an exhaustive list, but that is the number of leaders in our system that we share together, that are here at this convention, that are here in this room today, those who have taken, I'm talking about formal active roles, and there are so many then leaders too who have not taken the formal active roles. But all of you here and everywhere who play the same similar roles, that's how we get it done. With friends like you. Now, I have a list, and it's in no specific order, but these are people who are members of the NFB who are here this weekend, who are currently or who have played roles in formal bodies, advisory bodies to our commission. I'm talking about three in particular: our executive board, our State Rehabilitation Council, and our State Committee of Blind Vendors. And I'm just going to read off names and of past and past and present leaders. And I'm not even going to say if you're on the SRC, the Executive Board, the State Committee, because some of you are on multiple or have been on multiple. We've got Carl and Mindy and Chansey and David Stayer and Julie Phillipson and Mary Lou Mendez and Luis Mendez and Maria Garcia and Harold Wenning and Murray Diamond. We have Ray Wayne and Marie Cowdhoof, and Terry Northup, and Lucy Cox, Lucy Marr. And so, how do we get it done? We get it done with you and everybody who is here. We're all leaders together, and that's how we get it done. And I look out and I see other leaders, and some of whom I will also address more directly in just a few moments, but to be inspired too by my new friend, Kevin Worley, coming in from Colorado as your outstanding representatives. And I'll text Mark Riccobono for you if you want, Mr. Worley, and let him know that I think you're a darn fine representative. Absolutely. Yes. As good as Mr. Riccobono was last year, and he was very good, I must say. Absolutely. And also to those who are here maybe checking it out and for the first time, and opportunities to have made new friends. Parker, it was so good to see you here with your dad David and your brother Peyton. Absolutely. And my new friend also, Bigo. Is that how you say it, right? The dog?
Vigo,
that's how I said it, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. My new friend Vigo, absolutely. And so here we are with so many friends who have been named and not named, and I certainly would be remiss, and I certainly would feel a little bit more empty if I also did not acknowledge a very, very good friend of all of ours. Certainly you, David Stayer, who we all lost in the last year. Of course, our dear friend Laurie Stayer. And to you, David, I say, Zichro na livracha, may her memory be, and we all know that it certainly is. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to pour myself a very, very quick cup of water. My mouth is drying up here, and I will be back in 10 seconds or less.
One, two, three.
Thank you, David. I appreciate that. Absolutely. See, know something? All those names and all the support and everything else, what does it tell us? It tells us that the NFB is everywhere and we are all stronger for it. Absolutely. Now, how do we get it all done? Well, I think we also know the answer. And I'm going to give you some anecdotes and examples of things that we're doing that we either have had your help on in the past year or we need your help on going forward, things that we have your help on, and also to address the very controversial issue that I think is on the table for this morning, and to let you know the great activities that we have done in the commission this year to support getting rid of 14C in this state and the activities that support this practice that should just go away. Yeah. But let me begin with something a little less controversial. Last year at this very convention, at that time in the city of Albany, I'm not sure it was the very first time, but it was really, really the first real memorable time that I had an opportunity to meet Commissioner Margot Downey, commissioner of the one of 13 commissioners on Niagara Frontier Transportation Authority. From here on in, I will refer to it as NFTA. And somebody who I've known for many, many years, along with Commissioner Downey, and that's your secretary, Julie Phillipson. So we began talking about, through the new business enterprise program legislation in New York State, that we needed to work to move as quickly as possible given resource issues that we were confronting. And Margot stepped forward along with Julie, and they made certain commitments. And every one of those commitments they kept. And those commitments included, sip of water here. Those commitments included a meeting with the very CEO of NFTA. They were there with me. We had a productive meeting along with their lead counsel, their general counsel. And that occurred last March. And now, just very recently, we're able to claim that not just in one site, not just in two sites, but on multiple sites, we have the very, very beginnings of what we believe is a very strong partnership, not just with the NFTA, but also with their concessionaire, Delaware North. Right now, we have, and this might not sound like a lot, but let me describe and tell you why we think it is a lot. Right now, in a relative short time, we have acquired the rights, or we believe are about to acquire the rights, to a total of 8 machines that are on NFTA property in different places in Buffalo, including their headquarters. Now, that was enough to add to an individual's existing commitment in the business enterprise program to establish a full-fledged route. So, yeah, absolutely. And I do want to underscore and emphasize just enough. So Commissioner Downey, Secretary Phillipson, myself, we commit, I believe, we can commit together to continuing this pursuit, to continuing the NFTA. I think they understand that we also need to prove ourselves to them in order to expand, and we certainly will to the NFTA and to Delaware North. And I know, and we all know, that we can continue to count on Commissioner Downey and Secretary Phillipson to help lead this effort. So thank you to you both for doing that. Now I'm going to let you guess what I want to talk about next. Bell. Now, let's sort of be a little informal here. Carl, we've spoken about it, over the last year. I made a commitment last year to Carl. I said, let's see how it goes. Let's wait a year. And then our commission will consider funding. Carl's response to that was something to the effect of, thank you, I appreciate that, I understand, and we're going to prove it to you. And although, just like the President Jacobson said, alas, I could not attend either, and I certainly regret that. But I've heard enough, known enough, to see enough that I believe that this program is definitely something that is worth funding, no question. And so, in anticipation of this, before I left to come here, I checked the books, so to speak, and I have to tell you that this is not because of what it is. This is not an investment, if we are to make it, that would be appropriate for our federal dollars, because these are serving, if I believe, from what I heard, including those who are of age in our children's program, for which that does not cover. If there are any that it covers within our VR program, we can certainly take a look at that. And I think that while we would look to commit money to it, we would also, a very sound program, we would also look to obviously commit referrals to it, because if we're going to support it by helping invest in it, then we also ought to and will help with our referrals. Now, I know what you think your needs are. I've heard it very carefully, and I think I've heard what your president has requested. I don't know if you want to reiterate that, Mr. President, or you said something like half to all, which was 7,500 to 15,000, yes?
Yeah, we'll say 10 to 15.
Okay, You know, this is being recorded, right? So I guess I got to be careful here too, right?
Yep.
That's right. Guy from where? Colorado, is it? Right? Absolutely. I get it. Check in the ledger, check in the books, check in the reality that these are not federal dollars, but these are our much, much, much more limited state dollars. We can commit with a sound program, a sound presentation, a sound proposal. I know that we can commit a minimum of $5,000 to the Bell program for next summer. Great. Now is that's overall, but it's not to say that we couldn't look for opportunity for more. Again, we have to have a sound proposal which really demonstrates what it needs to. But I got to tell you, from the description today, I think you got it. Hopefully it's something that's uniquely New York as well. I don't know if it's a canned program, a canned type of proposal or what, but it also sounds to me, because every state is unique, in the rural territories and the urban territories, as you mentioned, and everything else, there really is a uniqueness to it. So we would look to consider going beyond that, but we definitely have $5,000 to commit to that program. More to come to that, and I would also say the sooner the proposal comes to us, the sooner that we can commit the funds so that you can begin to know you have the money and begin to spend that money. Hopefully that will be in your pockets sooner rather than later. Now I see I got about 12 more minutes, so I'll talk really quickly. Placement contracts. You know, it just sounds pretty simple and pretty innocuous, placement contracts, but it hardly is. This past week, the Commission for the Blind finalized 34 placement contracts, and by placement I mean job placement contracts for agencies and for-profit private companies too, to work with us to not just to do placement, but private companies. There are also a couple private companies as well as not-for-profits in there that are educational type of outfits that will also administer DVEs or diagnostic vocational education assessments. But last year at this very convention in Albany, you challenged me at this very time, and later on in a resolution, you challenged the commission specifically to approach the Olmsted Center and also specifically to deal in general with contract issues and consider not contracting with agencies that are paying sub-minimum wage to their employees. And I am very pleased to tell you that we went back and we did just that. And this week, we announced the release of 34 contracts, none of which are to agencies that are paying sub-minimum wage. Yeah. Now, admittedly, I wanted to have gone farther, but I couldn't. So instead of banning anyone that held the 14C certificate from bidding on it, instead, we required them to attest to us, and we can audit, and we will, to attest to us that they are not actively paying sub-minimum wage. The list of those contractors is public. We will make it public, and it will be. Not only will we be vigilant, but you want to talk about how will we get it all done? We are asking our advocates, our strongest advocates, to be vigilant with us. So if you know or strongly suspect that there's any agencies on that roster that are actively using their 14C certificates, then I want to know about it, and we as the Commission for the Blind will do something about it within the power that we have as officials in New York State. Now, of course, we confronted some of the realities this morning, which I certainly regret. Now, when we had this discussion last year and the resolution, which I didn't have an opportunity actually to see once it was written, I firmly believe that I acted in good faith in order to do what that resolution that the NFB asked to do. there was not a discussion at all about the question of what would happen to an agency, and particularly the Olmsted Center, which we were focusing on, that what would happen if they were forced to lay off their employees. Now I say to all of you assembled here today, I say to my friends here this afternoon, we have too many good things going today than to let this issue, this very important fundamental issue, derail us. I'm not used to jeers from you, and you caught my intention indeed. You know, sometimes friends agree to disagree, and at other times, the issue is too critical to deploy this strategy. And this is the case, the latter case, I think, here. So, to address this, I have committed, along with the CEO, Tammy Owen, of the Olmsted Center, and I have committed to come back here before the end of the month to host a meeting out of Albany, but to co-host along with Olmsted, a meeting where we can come together and we can talk about these issues. And so I mentioned this earlier to Mike Robinson, and I think this is new to everybody, including to Carl, this commitment to us, for us. But that's the commitment we make. And I say to you that when we have had this dialogue in the past, this was not a part of it. So now we have an opportunity to have this dialogue. We have this opportunity to have this dialogue together, including with the Olmsted Center. The position that I stated this morning is the position of the commission. Yet, through discussion and through opportunity, we may have the chance to really take a look at this and come to an understanding of the best resolution possible. You know, something for me to come back in a couple weeks to deal with this, I know that it will be worth the trip, it will be worth the discussion, and it'll be worth the risk, the inevitable risk that we're all gonna have to take. And on that, I hope that we all can agree. And for the sake of time, I will mention very briefly a conversation or a meeting and a wonderful dialogue with the youth of this group this morning, the young ones, the college students and those who support them and others, about the new GED standard and the inaccessibility of it. And as we speak, I believe, a resolution is being drafted in order to compel the State Education Department, and other advocates are working on this as well, to make this very basic test, which I know from my career, and I can tell you stories, but you know why? You can tell me too, about individuals who went back to get their GED, and these are people who are some of our leaders today with bachelor's degrees and master's degrees who are doing wonderful, wonderful things. Why would the state of New York want to withhold this opportunity for others? We will not allow that to happen, and together we will work cooperatively to make sure that everybody has access to this test that gives somebody life, gives somebody opportunity, gives somebody independence, and gives somebody freedom, the full freedom that we all demand and we all expect. So we are going to tackle that, and we are going to tackle it in a way that preserves the dignity of the state of New York, but more importantly, preserves the rights and the expectations of those that we serve and work with. And speaking of accessibility, we ourselves at the Commission for the Blind are less than perfect. We let documents go in PDF file, and some of you have seen them, and I've said to a couple of you, embarrassingly, I'm sorry, I only have this right now in PDF. I'll try to get it in Word, and sometimes the response is, you know what, just send it to me in PDF and I'll get somebody to read it to me. But I never want anyone to have to say that to me again. That just isn't right. And I'll tell you too, we are going to tackle this at the Commission for the Blind, and we have a controversial way to do it. And I am pleased to tell you that our lawyers will work with us to the extent that they possibly can, and I'm going to tell you what they're going to do. They're going to work with us within the bounds of what they can do legally to disarm us of any tools that we can have to ever disseminate or send anything out again in inaccessible format. And then once we, who should be the beacons of light to the rest of the world on this one, the rest of the state, I should say, once we get our act together, then we are going to teach others how to do the same. So that members of the executive board and our state rehab council, when they're going to get from the appointments office the paperwork that they need to fill it out, don't get it in PDF so they can fill it out themselves as they should, all of you. Absolutely. So this is a work in progress. This is not an overnight thing. This is going to take time, but we are working on it, and we are going to keep our state rehab council, our executive board, and others apprised of our success along the way. I do want to say something, because it seems like I have another minute or so. I do want to clarify something in case it has not been clarified, but through an internet search, I want to tell you, and some of this you know, because one of these individuals was here this morning, and unfortunately I had to take someone to the train station, and I missed you honoring one of the heroes in our community, Senator Maziarz. I also want to tell you that the rumor that Carl said might be there, it's true. Joan Millman is retiring. Joan Millman from the Queens area. Has been a very, very good friend of the communities, as well as Harvey Wiesenberg, Harold. I know that Assembly Member Wiesenberg is retiring as well. So all in one year, at one time, we're losing three great friends. Now, I did confirm, and I mentioned this to Carl, that Joan Millman happens to have somebody who everybody rallied behind to succeed her and was elected to the Assembly from that same district. Her name is Joanne Simon, and does anyone know Joanne Simon? She got her credentials by being one of the strongest disabilities advocates in this community. And so we have somebody who I'm guessing may very well be a superstar in our future and in the not too distant future. So any opportunity that you have, and I have not yet had that opportunity, to meet her, to get to know her, to cultivate her, that might be an opportunity for the NFB. So take a look into that, absolutely. You know, whenever, we all know, nobody's irreplaceable. Whenever a gap, we're human beings. We always figure out how to fill those gaps. So don't worry here. We're all gonna figure out how to inspire the advocates on all levels for the next generation. I do want to let you know that if there's anything you want to talk to me about, I will make myself available right after this. We can make an appointment. I'll be here through mid-morning tomorrow. I intend to go and attend as well, certainly banquet, resolutions meeting, and at least part of the open meeting tomorrow morning that begins at 9. I guess one of the very last things I do want to say is, you know, as I learn more and more about the NFB, I appreciate the NFB more, and I heard reference to some of the myths being dispelled, and I have to admit that there probably are some myths that I still have myself about what the NFB is all about. You know, Carl mentioned, or somebody, I think it was you, Carl, mentioned audible signals, that is a myth, that you are steadfastly opposed to that. And also, quite honestly, when I first got to know you, I was under an impression that guide dogs were something that were forbidden. Yes, absolutely. Boy, shame on me for that one. And I've learned that too, and it was great to see Guiding Eyes here displaying, and others, and all the wonderful guide dogs that are here, absolutely. And you know what? I think you gotta keep working on all of us, because I will admit that even at the commission, just like I think all of you may have misconceptions, or some of you may have misconceptions about what we are all about at the Commission for the Blind, I will say similarly, we may very well have misconceptions about who all you are and who you are as an agency, as an organization, I should say. So let's always look for the opportunity, not to dialogue at this level, but all levels and at all opportunities that we have between our organizations. That'll only make us even stronger, and that's exactly how we're going to get things done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. I also want to underscore one thing that Brian said earlier. For years and years, we've had trouble getting things accomplished at the commission because there was a group of people who they called lawyers who were always in our way saying, no, Brian, you can't do that. No, Tom, you can't do that. No, Tom, you can't do this. No, Brian, you can't do that. Brian, somehow you have managed to make these lawyers work for the people who pay them. And now they are on our side again, where they should have been all the time. And I don't know how you did it. Maybe it's sorcery or something. But you managed to get the lawyers to work for us, and for that, we thank you.
Yeah.
Also, I would be remiss. A youth coalition was formed in New York City a while back by the prime driver was Vision Services for the Blind. They received a grant, I believe, from the New York Trust, if I'm not mistaken, to form a youth coalition and to improve services to the youth of New York City. And the head of that coalition is a gentleman named Mike Godino. And Mike, Michael is here today. Mike, I think this is a first. Welcome to the National Federation of the Blind's convention, Mike. What?
I don't know.
I can't hear a word you're saying, Terry.
Okay, let us tell you then. She says she has something really important to say.
Okay, Terry, we're running the clock, but let's see how important.
You need a mic. Wait,
somebody's getting you a mic. Hold on. Remember, we promised a hotel we're going to vacate. If we don't vacate this room soon, Terry, you're going to set dinner for us.
Yeah, I'm turning out. Okay, it's on.
Go,
okay.
Terry, go.
I met Brian a long time ago when I was working at the Independent Living Center in the Binghamton area. And at that time, I also had been serving on the State Rehab Council for the Commission for the Blind. And Tom Robertson was the associate commissioner at the time. And Brian was underneath him, you know, serving in his role. And he actually helped with the Braille Rights and Literacy Act, and I think it was in 2001. And I actually went to him. I was sitting on the State Rehab Council Board, and I said, look, Brian, the way to get this passed is to go through the Independent Living Center. And there was somebody serving on the Independent Living Center on the board as well, and she didn't give as much input as I went to him, and I said, this is the way to go about doing it. Go to all your independent living centers and say to them, get the call for action out. And Brian recognized that, and just through that action, we were able to get the Braille Literacy Act passed. So what proves your point, Carl, you never know who's working on the other side of things and going about, and he went the extra mile and did that and listened to somebody, you know, that had some information and took that information and went with it.
Right.
So
thank
he's
you.
Been working
thank you,
ever
Terry.
Since 2000 and, for us. And not as the commissioner, but underneath the commissioner.
Yep.
Thank you,
Terry. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have a final door prize coming up, but just as a, this is not a symbolic gesture. This is a real gesture, but I'm doing it on behalf of all of us. Brian, it is a pleasure to be working with you again. Brian, talk to me. All right, where'd you go, Brian?
Sorry, Carl.
I said it is a pleasure to continue to work with you.
Absolutely.
I am taking Brian's hand on behalf of all of us.
There you go. Thank you all.
Thank you.
And I'm making a waving hand gesture right now.